Lisa, I put everything up here before the service but my Bible. Could you hand me my Bible, baby? You know, some churches, pastor gets up and gives a message and never even opens a Bible. I don't think I would call that a church. Thank you, baby. That's my baby. By the way, we will be married 50 years next August. She is the most blessed amongst women. I tell her that all the time. Okay. I'm going to start tonight. Let's see where we're at. I'm going to start tonight by reading three scriptures. These three scriptures are in different parts of the Bible, but there's a theme running through it that you'll see later on as we continue on through the message. And we're going to begin in Genesis chapter 1, if you will turn there, please. Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to read two verses. I'm going to read verse 26 and 27. Verse 26 of chapter 1 of Genesis. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now turn to Romans chapter 1. I'm going to read one and one half verses. Romans chapter 1. Beginning with verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man. I'm going to stop there. Notice in verse 23, well, first, let me go back to 22 for a second. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. This is not part of the message, but I have to say it. There are people in high places in our country that profess themselves to be very wise, and they are morons. According to Scripture, now I'm telling you, they have no... There are a lot of other words you could use. The Bible calls them fools. Okay, that's what fools talk about. They're moronic. They don't have any common sense whatsoever. Do you see it? You guys that are old as I am and you see our society, how in the world can people believe some of the things they believe today? It's just moronic, or maybe even satanic, I would say. Now, back to verse 23. Notice it said, they're talking about men, and men changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. These scriptures in Genesis and here in Romans tell us two things. In the beginning of time, God created man in God's own image. In the end times, which we are close to, man has created God in man's own image. In other words, man has made false gods. They didn't like the God of the Bible, so they've created gods that are like them, us. That think like sinful men, that act like sinful men, that behave like sinful men, that will approve everything that sinful men do. By the way, these are false gods. Now, the last scripture is in Matthew. We're in Matthew chapter 24. I think after this you'll see the connection. Jesus also made reference to these false gods in this last scripture we're going to look at. Matthew 24, I'm going to begin reading verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Here Jesus himself said there will be many false Christs. And remember that the goal of these false Christs is to deceive people into thinking they're the true Jesus. But they're imposters. Now, having said everything I said and listening to what Jesus said about false Christs and imposters, as I was preparing for this message, I don't know why, but it made me think of an old game show on TV in the 50s and 60s. Now, I know some of you are not going to remember this, but some of you will if you're around my age. Dare say many of you will remember an old game show called To Tell the Truth. Now, for those that are younger and those that are not familiar with it, or those of us that are old and forgot what it was about, here's the format of the program To Tell the Truth. Three individuals would come onto the stage and stand behind the podium, and each one of them would give the same name. They'll say, "I am this and that," but they all said the same thing. They claimed to be the same person. One of them was the person they claimed to be. The other two were imposters. You see where I'm going with this? The other two were imposters. And remember, it was the goal of the imposters to deceive. And I was going to admit, there's a panel of guests or judges. They would listen to the questions, listen to the answers from the individuals, and the judges would have to decide who was the true person that was discussed or claimed to be. Okay? Now, we're going to do, with your indulgence, we're going to do a reenaction, a recreation of To Tell the Truth. Now, you got to use your imagination a little bit because I don't have three guys standing up here, okay? But I'm going to act as the host of the show. I'm also going to be the one to ask the questions. And you got to visualize them up here. There's one, two, three. I'm gonna give their answers as if they're giving them. Okay, you got me? That's where we're going. Your job is to listen to the questions, listen to the answers, and at the end of it, you're going to decide which one is the real person that they claim to be. All right? We good? Okay, here we go. All right. Now, the three individuals come up. They're standing up here, and as the host, I would ask. Can't move away from this, so they're over there. Contestant number one, please introduce yourself. I am Jesus. Contestant number two, please introduce yourself. I am Jesus. And contestant number three, would you please introduce yourself? I am Jesus. Okay. We'll begin the questions with an easy question. Now remember, you got to listen and you're going to make your mind up. Question number one, and a simple question. Contestant number one, are you God? Answer, no, I am not God. Every intelligent, level-headed person knows there is no God. Science has proven that time after time. I personally consider myself a prophet and a teacher. Some might even call me a great teacher. Contestant number two, are you God? Answer, yes, I am God. But I'm known by many names other than Jesus. I am called Allah. I am called Brahma. I am called Vishnu. And I am called Buddha, among many other names. We are all the same God, just known by different names. And remember, if you live right, you can become a God just like we did. Contestant number three, are you God? How do I speak for God? It's hard to do. Yes, I'm God. I'm the great I am, the creator of heaven and earth, the Alpha and the Omega, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. I alone am God, and there is no other God besides me. All other gods are simply the products of the imaginations of sinful men who have rejected me, the true God. And the host goes, well. Next question. Contestant number one. Is the Bible the actual word of God? Answer. It is not the word of God because I've already said there is no God. So how could it be the word of God? However, I do think that some parts may be beneficial to some people, like love your neighbor and judge not, lest you be judged. I like that one the best. But some parts are dangerous, like the narrow definition of marriage and the unrealistic restrictions on sexual morality. Contestant number two, is the Bible the actual word of God? Well, I wouldn't say it is God's word. I would say it contains some of God's words. You just need to ignore certain parts of it, like the entire Old Testament and much of Paul's writings, and you definitely need to reject the despicable idea that I died on the cross for the sins of others. Contestant number three, is the Bible the actual word of God? Yes, it is. Every word came from me. And may I remind you, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from my mouth, because I am the Word. Question number three. Some people say that you are the only way to heaven. Is that true? Answer, this is contestant number one. Some people say you're the only way to heaven, etc. That's preposterous. As one of my favorite people, Oprah Winfrey, has said, there are billions of people in the world. The idea there is only one way to heaven is simply ridiculous. That statement, I might add, is the most ignorant, narrow-minded statement I have ever heard. Contestant number two. Some people say that you are the only way to heaven. Is that true? Well, I am one way to heaven, but I'm not the only way to heaven. I'm the way Christians get to heaven, but other religions have their own leaders that provide other ways to heaven. Here's an analogy that might help. Think of a bicycle wheel. You can visualize the spokes in the wheel moving to the center hub. Think of religion that way. All of the religions are like spokes in the wheel, and they're all moving in the same direction, going to the same place, to the hub or the center, which is God and ultimately heaven. To put it in a simpler way, all religious roads lead to heaven. Contestant number three. Some people say that you're the only way to heaven. Is that true? Yes, that is true. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There is no other name under heaven whereby you must be saved. So come to me and live. By the way, in response to contestant number two's statement about the different ways to get to heaven or the different roads, the reality is there are only two roads. Everyone's on one of two roads. You're either on the narrow road that leads to heaven and to life, or you're on the wide road that leads you to hell and destruction. Whoa, that number three is some kind of guy down there. Final question. Contestant number one, what was your purpose in coming? Well, I came to show people how they can live better, more productive lives individually and as a society. We can do this by showing tolerance and acceptance of all people's differences and all of their lifestyles, whether we agree with them or not. To do this, we must throw off all those antiquated ideas and restrictions about marriage, sexuality, and sexual identity. After all, if it feels right, it must be right. Right? Contestant number two, what was your purpose in coming? Well, I couldn't say it any better than contestant number one did, but I will add, folks, I'm all about love. Regardless of what kind of love that love may be. Remember, the Bible says God is love, so all love must be of God, right? Contestant number three, what was your purpose in coming? I came to die. Excuse me? I came to die. I came to die to pay the penalty for the sins of men, for your sin, moderator, for your sins, number one and number two, and for the sins of the judges sitting on the panel. I came to seek and to save lost sinners, and the only way I could do that was to absorb the wrath of God on the cross. The wrath that men deserve for their sin that I did not deserve. Now, that's the conclusion of the question. So I'm going to give you time to tabulate and decide, that's what they would do in the show, which one of these so-called Jesus, number one, contestant number one, contestant number two, or contestant number three, is the real Jesus Christ. Now, at the end of the show, what they would do when everything was tabulated, they would say, the guy would say, will the real Jesus Christ please stand up? And they would bob up and down, acting like, you know, whatever, the imposters. And finally, the real Jesus would stand up. Now, which one of those three do you believe is the real Jesus? There you go. There we go. See, I knew you would know that. But not everybody knows that. I knew you would. At least I hoped you would know it. Because if you didn't know that, we got some problems. And I got to talk to Mark about this stuff. Okay? Our pastor would need to know that. But there are a lot of people out there in the world. There are millions and millions of people that are following imposter Christ. There are millions of people that believe in contestant number one, the Jesus you might call the Jesus of the lost world. That's what they think about Jesus. He and he is an imposter. They might put their faith in him, but there is no such person as that Jesus. He was created by the imagination of sinful men. Millions of others follow that number two. You might call him the Jesus of religion. You know, there are many ways to God. There are many religions and many roads to heaven. A lot of people believe that out there. And they're going to wake up one day in hell and they're going to realize they were wrong. They were listening and believing in an imposter Christ. Thank God that we believe in the real Jesus. The real Jesus seems to the world to be restrictive, narrow-minded, hard sometimes. He is God Almighty, and He reserves the right as God to restrict the way we live our lives, to set standards for the way we live our lives. He has the right and the authority to define marriage, to define sexuality, to define sexual identity, and no one has the right to overrule Him. And anyone that does, there's no other way to put it. Anyone who rejects that has rejected the true Jesus Christ. You can't accept that other stuff and believe in the real Jesus. You're believing in an imposter. Well, Jim, what was your objective by this? Well, first of all, I want you to understand that there are many false Christs out there, just like those imposters, contestant one and contestant two. I want you to be aware that not everyone who says that they believe in Jesus believes in the real Jesus. Many of them believe in imposter Jesuses, which have no hope of saving their souls. And if they believe in it up until the moment they die, they'll be lost forever. Second, I want to make sure that you have not been deceived by one of these false Christs, by one of the false Jesus. You may be sucked in by the world. That's what worries me about younger people and single adults. They're being pressured as Romans said, to be conformed to this world, to accept imposter Jesuses who will accept anyway, any lifestyle, anything that's contrary to the Word of God. I worry about them. I'm concerned for them, and we all should be. But I want to make sure you haven't personally been deceived by one of the false Christ. If you thought it was number one or number two, you need to come see me after service because you're on the wrong track. You're on the wide road. And finally, I wanted you to know or understand that the next time that you're with someone new and the subject of Jesus comes up, or the fact that you're a Christian, it will come up. It better come up at some time or another. And they realize that you're a follower of Jesus Christ, and they real fast say, oh, yeah, Jesus, yeah, I believe in Jesus too. It might do you well to nicely and as casually and comfortably ask them a couple of questions. I gave you four examples. If they do not believe that Jesus is God, they're believing in a false Christ. If they do not believe that the Word of God is the very actual Word of God, the inspired Word of God, they're believing in the false Christ. All those things that I talked about, if they do not believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven, and I'm telling you right now, there are people in the world that say that's the most arrogant statement that can be made. But if they don't believe it, they're not following the right Christ. You say, Jim, you're sounding narrow-minded too. I got no choice. That's what he said. That's what Jesus said. Be aware. Be aware of the false Christ. Be aware of the imposters that are out there. Be aware that not everyone who claims the name of Christ, who says they believe in Jesus, believes in the real Jesus, because only the real Jesus has the power to save. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you've made it very clear in your world that Jesus is your Son, the Almighty, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the only way of salvation, the only one who paid the penalty for our sins. I pray, God, that everyone in here believes that. And I pray, dear Father, that we'll be more aware of those who glibly say they believe in Jesus, and that maybe we might try to clarify that, and in clarifying it, maybe lead them in the right direction and point them to your Son, the real Jesus. Be with us, Father, as we leave this place. May this message go with us as we go. In Jesus' name we ask it, and for his sake, amen.